It's time to speak out on the original Speak Out Radio Show. Speak Out is a public affairs program that serves you, our listeners, and the community you live in. Speak Out is all about listener participation. So call in anytime during the show. 928-854-5687. That's 854-5687. Speak Out on KNTR Talk is heard on 106.7, 5, and 3. You can also listen at KNTRTalk.com and listen anywhere through the TuneIn radio app. From elected officials, community leaders, small business owners, school district representatives, and charitable causes, Speak Out is here for you on KNTR Talk. The year was 1968, and the automotive industry was in a panic mode, looking for a prototype crash dummy that could be used as an average male, large male, and small female. Who did the brilliant minds of American ingenuity turn to?
Yo, police!
Recent historical records have surfaced, proving Alexander Graham Bell's first telephone call in 1876 was not his assistant, Mr. Watson, but to...
Yo, police!
Asking him to order Chinese. Ladies and gentlemen, fresh from a crash test at Yucca Proving Grounds, your host, Paul Lavoie.
Hey, that's me, Brian Springberg. If you're out there, you're wanted in the Speak Out Kitchen with No Sink, sponsored by City Maytag. City Maytag, of course, located 911 North Lake Havasu Avenue. Marissa June, I don't know when you're coming back. No, it's supposed to be Monday, but I miss you personally. So she gets a lot of stuff ready for the show when I'm off doing other stuff, Speak Out duties, and that kind of thing for the station. Anyway, welcome. We're waiting for Brian Springberg. It'll be Sound Advice with Brian Springberg when he comes in. And don't tell me it isn't Brian, because I just confirmed with Robin yesterday. So there you go. All right, great interview yesterday. I want to thank Gina Swoboda again, and of course Jody Segesser for helping to secure that interview. Jody was instrumental in getting us that great interview with Gina, and now you'll hear the audio clips on Arizona News Radio. So Gina's, of course, going from Congressional District 1, seeking that seat, to the Arizona Secretary of State's race. So she's going to run against the incumbent, of course, Adrian Fontes. And Brian is here, the late Brian Springberg. What's happening, Brian?
I'm still with us. I don't know what you mean by late.
Kind of. Nah, you're good, man. I know it's so far to the station. You just have to, if you run out of gas, you could coast down McCulloch, right, to the Radio Central studios.
If need be.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
Depending upon where I'm coming from. Although, you know, stoplights and stop signs could present a little bit of an issue, I suppose.
Don't you have that big environmentally unfriendly SUV or something? It's pretty big, right?
One of my vehicles.
It holds a brood.
Suburban. I've been trying to.
I didn't want to say that.
I've been trying to not have a Suburban for 20 years.
And?
I still have a Suburban.
You've heard of trade-ins?
Well, I get different Suburbans.
I see.
I don't, you know, it's like I'm trying to downsize, but I got to tell you, hey, it's party night, or we're somewhere, Springberg, let's hop in Springberg. We can go 7, maybe 8 if we throw, you know, someone's small wife on the floor.
Nice.
I've got 4 kids and a fiance. There's 7 right there if we're doing something somewhere all together on a family vacation. My wife does a lot of construction and interior design, so I'm in, she's at Lowe's. She's at, different stores. She's at Oasis Floors. She's here. She's there picking up and loading the back and then hauling the trailer. It's like I can't get away from it, man.
So back to the other people. You mentioned a fiance, right?
Yep.
Without the fiance, it would be 6-7? But with the...
It'd be 6, yeah.
You said 7, I'm thinking 6-7. All right, I just want to explain to the folks, now that I have the floor again, since I had to go cold open and everything, something's up with the music source today. Westwood One feature programs for Sunday. Super Bowl Sunday starts at 10 a.m. with our Super Bowl preview, then Insider at 11. the Super Bowl 60 tailgate show at noon. Then you have Super Sunday, and that's at 2. And then the Super Bowl pregame show is at 3:30. You know when the kickoff is? So we start at 10, right?
4:30, yeah. Isn't it? Typically 4:35.
It's normally whatever. The national anthem at 4:30, but yeah. 4:30 they list as the kickoff between the Seahawks and the Patriots. But, you know, I listen to sports radio quite a bit, and this one guy calls in. He's a dealer from Vegas, a car dealer, games dealer.
Yeah.
He says, you know, there's a lot of money, a lot of action going on the Seahawks right now.
Yeah.
He goes, but let me warn you guys, this place wasn't built on winners, right? So all that money, I don't know, man. You see all that money going in, and you think, well, what if they had to pay all that out? A lot of it, right?
Yeah.
That's going to be a big – that means the books are going to take a hit. That doesn't happen a lot.
No, it definitely does not. But, you know, let's face it, who doesn't look at this game and think it's not going to be a blowout? I don't know.
Not to take away from you, but one of the most ridiculous prop bets I've ever seen, Brian.
Yeah?
What color is the Gatorade going to be on the Gatorade bath?
Orange.
It said orange, green, blue, and I don't know, there was maybe clear, but like water. But yeah, there's a prop bet for the color of the Gatorade bath. Yeah,
you can bet on literally anything in this world.
That's
today,
incredible. I've never heard of that.
A kind of sign of the apocalypse and the decline of our civilization, if you ask me.
You could,
literally, you can bet on almost anything.
You could relate this to business on the Dave Ramsey show. He's been talking a lot about people emptying out their 401ks and other retirement accounts because of sports betting. It's becoming almost chronic now.
Oh, great.
Yeah. Yeah. Like an epidemic.
Yeah, I believe it.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, go ahead.
I'm not in shock about it. Well, hi.
Hi.
Why am I here again? We're talking about
sound advice with Brian Springberg.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Well, we are in the midst of another fairly serious downturn in the NASDAQ technology-related markets, as well as a little more broader base today, but not near as devastating in other sectors, other industries outside of tech, and specifically in many ways outside of software, coding companies, and lots of related companies in that way. And there's the concerns creeping in that, wait a minute here, AI is actually, one, going to take these jobs and have a major impact on these corporations. Two, maybe we got a little too excited on the AI trade, at least for now. So the market's taking a breath. What you're seeing in some ways is a rotation, meaning selling some of the holdings that made people a lot of money over the last year, and maybe putting those into some other sectors that they feel are doing well. I can tell you that international investments, as I've been telling you, are year-to-date. Again, after an outstanding year last year, continue that trend, far outpacing the U.S. We're just kind of bouncing around a little here. There's a lot of concerns out there, and in fact, it is one of the more It is one of the more complicated financial investment scenarios that I've had to give thought about on behalf of my clients in my 33-year career. How's that for a trying to navigate this thing going on? Because what's going on, obviously, is simultaneously question marks about interest rates and how those could positively or negatively affect bond holdings, which are typically much more conservative than the stock market. Are we in an AI bubble? Is the stock market overbought right now? Is there a correction coming of some meaningfulness, even if it's temporary, trying to kind of navigate that? Kind of the rotation out of American dollars in general being caused by a whole number of factors, domestic economic policy, the rest of the world very upset with us on a lot of levels over kind of, you know, the threats or actual policies that President Trump has been putting in place or threatening to put in place, or just kind of, you know, upsetting everybody and everybody going, okay, well, I guess we need to find a different way to trade, a different way to go. I don't know where it all ends. In other words, is it a net positive for our country at some point? You know, that's going to be remain to be seen. I can just tell you in the real world, in real time, there's a lot of the world trying to look for other assets. Hence, why did we see such an explosion in gold and silver? Again, concern about the American dollar. It's gone down so much. And in many ways, that's by design by the Trump administration, because what they're trying to do is get interest rates down, which, one, stimulates the economy, albeit maybe too much, causing inflation, which is very much still a concern. But also, it makes the deficit grow slower. And every president has lobbied for that since we've had this out-of-control deficit now for several decades. In other words, the interest can be less just because they put pressure on the Federal Reserve to lower interest rates. That could cause some positive or negative effects in other parts of our economy. And so whether or not a rotation into precious metals for keeping some wealth preservation makes some sense, even though the price of gold has doubled, you know, recently. And so, yes, it's come back down some, but not a ton. Silver has given back a lot of its big gains, but still is well up from where it was. And so you're like, okay, am I investing internationally to get away and for now and diversify away from the U.S. dollar some, or are their economies looking more robust? Should I be looking at precious metals? Should I be looking at bonds? Is the stock market oversold? And so all of that is in the mix right now. And I was having a discussion this morning with my son, Sam, as you know, we do pretty much every day, and talk about what's going on in the markets and the economy. And we were talking about, well, what happens if this gets serious? In other words, yeah, the Dow's down 400 or whatever it is right now. But of course, I've managed money when it's done that for 6 months. You know, like it's gone down 35% or 55%. Like I've been there. And I said, and this is the time that we get to remind our clients where our value comes into play, because we planned for this possibility. We didn't know exactly when. We didn't know exactly what the catalyst would be. Most people don't, like 99.8%. And even if they get it right, they're wrong the next two times over the next decade. But it means that your plan should accommodate what's happening. In other words, yeah, I get paid to get caught up a little bit more in the minutia and the day-to-day and that, but when it comes to your portfolio, you really need to be sure that you've got money in the right places in case things do get a little skittish for whatever the reason may be.
So a couple questions off of that. Gold prices have doubled, you said. In what in what amount of time compared to when, number one, and do you advise your clients to diversify into gold at all?
So, yeah, there's so gold, I want to say just in the last, you know, year or so. Gold was like whatever it was, 2,400, 2,500 an ounce. Now, you know, sniffing at 5,000 still.
Wow. That is big.
Yeah, it is significant. And gold is one of those unusual things. And I've talked about this before on the show. Typically, there's two ways that you invest in, why you would invest in gold. One is speculative. I think gold is going to go up relatively soon, and I want to put money into that. The reality is, as I explained, unless you sell gold at a point where it has gone up, historically, you've also enjoyed a little bit of a ride back down, and if you average your rate of return over a 10, 15, 20-year period of time, gold has not been a very good investment for most of those time tranches. Certainly, you could cherry-pick, oh, yeah, but from this decade, Brian, it did awesome. Sure. But that's the exception, not the rule. If you did happen to get in the last year, yeah, you killed it, man. But that is, again, a huge exception and not the rule. And the causes of why that is are nuts, right? Like, Germany has the second largest physical gold reserves, I believe, in the world behind the U.S. Guess where they keep it? Here.
Oh, really?
Guess who's thinking about repatriating it back to Germany? Why would they do that? Well, maybe they don't feel as confident as the relationship or the economy or whatever, the stability of the United States anymore. And so you've got all of this happening at the same time. But certainly speculation in gold can work great. The question is, when do you get out? Maybe let's say you've doubled your money. Well, one solution that some people do when that happens is they sell half. You know what? I'm going to sell half. If it keeps going up, I still own half. But if it goes down, I'm not going to beat myself up for being too greedy because it just ended up not going that way. The second reason, though, that you might look to gold is that you have kind of big picture world order concerns. The devaluation of the dollar and the move away from the U.S. dollar as the global currency of trade. I mean, one of the biggest reasons why we have prospered as a country for the last 50 years is when they were able to get oil to be traded in the U.S. dollar. So now everybody's got to have those dollars, and so that propped up the value of our currency, which helped us tremendously economically throughout the world for the last five decades. Huge deal. What happens if it starts moving away from that? That is the question. And so those fundamental things are in play right now. And so making sure that if we go through some serious volatility over the next 12, 24, 36, 48 months, you've got your savings, you've got your portfolio, like I have with my clients, diversified in a way that we can pull from things not exposed to stock market risk. Can I get rid of everybody's risk in the U.S. dollar? Well, no. But we can look, like I said, to maybe other currencies in terms of what kind of stocks are being held, or you can look at hard assets maybe if you're that concerned. But you definitely need to make sure that you are thinking things through, and a good financial advisor is going to be working with you to do that very thing. And so it's kind of a strange time. And hey, I've done this enough that it could be much ado about nothing in the end, but it doesn't feel that way. It feels like there are some very real changes happening right now. And so I am one to just err on the side of make sure you've got a little defense built into what you're doing to make sure that you're going down the right road. So when I look at, I had several reviews this morning, that's what we're specifically going over. Hey, what's been your average rate of return over the last 3 years? How much money do we have ready to go, not exposed to stock market risk, if you or somebody who is taking current income or going to be taking current income in the next couple of years or need a large lump sum in the next couple of years? Do we have that all thought out in a meaningful way? Does your portfolio outside of me think of that through? In other words, your residential rental properties, your commercial properties, your business, and all of that gets integrated into a plan that is ready made to make sure that you're thinking things through. In the big picture of things.
All right.
Yeah. Did you already pick out some music?
I just did. I went through Today in Music History. Mm. And we've got a 50th anniversary this year of a very important album, by the way. And we're going to feature it on KNTR Talk. This is not on that album, but the album I'm talking about, of course, KNTR Talk listeners know, is Captain Fantastic and the Brown Dirt Cowboy. Right?
Okay.
But on this date in music history, no, the 50th anniversary is this year.
Yeah.
Hard to believe. But we're celebrating that with a show on the 14th and 15th, all about that. It's an interview with Elton. and Bernie, I believe. So, yeah, it's going to be pretty cool.
Well, you're not going to get into an argument with me with some old Elton John. Don't play any of the standards, please.
What, like this?
No. Oh. By standards, I mean like this.
I was going to say Captain Fantastic and before. That would be 76 and before.
Amen.
All right, perfect. So on this date, Elton John's Crocodile Rock becomes his first U.S. number one hit. That's hard to believe, 1973. To date, Sir Elton has had 27 U.S. top 10 records and has placed a total of 58 songs, 58 in the Billboard top 40.
Wow.
Pretty crazy.
Pretty amazing.
You know, the funny thing is I'm Still Standing. Everybody remembers that video?
Yeah.
That was when Bernie and him split. At that time.
That was a bad turn.
It was a bad turn for him. Lifestyle-wise, it was just bad. Everything was bad. It affected me. Oh, yeah, me too. But it was like...
It's about me, Paul.
It was like after the Sheryl Crow's fourth album, I was like, oh, I'm done now. When, you know, what was that? Soak Up the Sun?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm done.
Yeah.
She was really good before that.
So good.
Yeah. All right. Little Elton John, we'll go out with Benny and the Jets. This, of course, from Yellow Brick Road. And don't forget, like I was saying, 4 o'clock next Saturday and Sunday, 4 p.m. on KNTR Talk. It's Captain Fantastic and the Brown Dirt Cowboy 50th anniversary interview. Pretty cool.
Easy for you to say.
Yeah, thanks. It's my first album, my very first. Stay with us. We'll be right back on Speak Out, 928-854-5687. I don't know where to jump in on this song, you know? Where do you go? Where do you come in without ruining it?
You just, maybe I'll...
All right, here we go.
Let's get rid of Brian and just listen to this one.
Burning out his fuse up here alone.
Rocket man.
I don't know what I thought it was before lyrics, but it wasn't that. All right, Speak Out brought to you in part by Mojave Mortgage. Love those guys. Also, Mojave Electric Cooperative by Bradley Chevrolet and Bradley Ford, TWN Fiber Internet, Salmon's Air Conditioning, by Blonzy Steakhouse on North London Bridge Road, and by A&B Propane, abpropaneaz.com. Don't forget we stream live, and our show archives are on kntrtalk.com. And what, your Arizona Wildcats?
Yeah, baby.
They play this weekend.
Undefeated.
You know, I don't want them to lose, but I'm a UNLV alumni, and we had a perfect season until we played Duke in the – I say we because I was on the team, right?
Okay.
No, I gave the school a lot of money. To me, it was a lot. They had a perfect record going into that second championship that they were going to win, and then they threw it. You remember that? They were like 35-0.
Yeah, I do remember.
The Larry Johnson team.
Of course.
Stacey Ogman.
Yeah. Tarkanian.
Tark the Shark, you bet.
Yeah, I try to forget about that. How are all those guys doing now?
Oh, I get...
How are all the players from those 2 years from UNLV doing now? Or Greg, how much time are they doing now? Is that a better question?
Greg Anthony's doing fine. I believe he still has a broadcast career. Grandmama, I'm not sure
I'm just
what,
kidding. I don't care.
I'm not sure what Larry Johnson's doing.
That's exactly.
Grandmama. He was awesome. And then Stacey Ogman or Ice. Maybe he's in Ice. I don't know.
Yeah.
But
those are all throwbacks. But, hey, we digress.
What's Sean Elliott? Is he still alive, or did I hear he died from kidney failures?
Oh, God, I don't know.
He had really bad kidneys.
Apparently.
Yeah. No, he had dialysis in that for a while. As a player, I thought.
So currently the Dow down almost 500. Segway.
Sorry.
Needing also to be put on dialysis. The software sector in tech.
Oh, brother.
So... other things pragmatically you need to be thinking about doing now. Regardless of whether you think, yeah, I'm comfortable going into the market now or investments now, you still need to make sure your 2025 IRA was fully funded. Because if you're in a brokerage account or even just mutual funds, you can put it in the money market option and wait. And if you think you want to be more patient and wait for a market drop and rotate in, then you can do it. But you still get, potentially if you qualify, the tax deduction for your traditional IRA, or get to fully fund your Roth IRA. For last year, you still have until you file for 2025, and you can fund $7,000 if you're under 50 last year, and if you're over 50 last year, then you could do $8,000. This year, by the way, that's bumping up to where you can do an extra $500, so $7,500 if you're 50 or over for 2026. They bumped it up even a little bit more, though, if you're over 50 for 2026. Instead of just the usual 1,000 bump, they did 1,100. So for this year, you actually could do 8,600. Now, that's combined, so you could do, if you're over 50, 4,600 in a Roth and $4,000 into a traditional. Really, it depends upon your tax situation, whether you need the deduction now, how old you are, how long that money is going to be invested, compounding, expected tax rates, estimated tax rates down the road when you do retire. And again, your accountant, tax professional, or financial advisor should be able to give you pretty easy guidance once they have that information to help you make a good decision for yourself. But keep in mind, you do need, you can still fund up until you file for last year. And if you are a realtor or self-employed, not only can you do a traditional IRA, you should be able to do what's called a SEP. And now, instead of just being able to put away either the $7,000 or $8,000 for 25, you could actually do up to 25% of your net business profits, or a cap. And off the top of my head, I don't remember. It's like $60,000-ish that you could fully deduct from your taxes in that situation. Net business profits, meaning, of course, you made $200,000 in commissions. You spent $50,000 on advertising and marketing and your license renewals, all the things. So your net business profit was $150,000. So then you could do up to 25%. Of $150,000, which I think is what, $37,500, tax deductible, and so it's a great opportunity to keep a few extra dollars in your pocket and not in Uncle Sam's, and make sure that at the same time you're also putting away money for your future. And keep in mind, SEP or IRA or 401k, none of those are investment descriptions; those are tax descriptions. What you put your money in your 401k in, or your Roth IRA, or traditional IRA, or SEP IRA in, the actual investment vehicle, that is what dictates your risk and your returns, not the fact that it is an IRA or 401k. So you can actually control that if you're somebody who's closer to retirement and wants to take less risk, if you're somebody who's got 25 years to go and is comfortable with, you know, short-term volatility, because it doesn't mean a whole lot as far as what, you know, you can expect from your money when you go to take it back out. In other words, that risk is lessened, because what happens in the next 5 years or 8 years doesn't really affect the share price that you'll be at further down the road. So those are easy things to be doing. The other thing you need to be making sure of is that if you're funding something monthly, that if you have the ability to increase it, that you've done so. And if the caps have gone up on those things, in other words, how much you can max out, if you're somebody able to max out into an IRA or 401k, even an HSA, right? And you want to take advantage of these tax benefits or investments, then you need to make sure that you've adjusted your 2026 contributions to fully take advantage of those things. To make sure that you're doing well for yourself. Because in the end, what we try to do, all of us, right, is translate hard work into not only quality of life now, but quality of life later. So you don't spend your whole life working just to be in a difficult financial position when you retire because you didn't take active steps to help yourself accumulate more assets along the way. And I get it. It's not easy for a lot of people now. Inflation is still so stubborn in so many areas, which again is why the Federal Reserve just isn't lowering interest rates, because if they do, it's going to cause inflation to go up, meaning things will get more expensive. And yeah, it might help on a couple of ticketed items with interest rates lowered, but it's not, it'll hurt the vast majority of what you spend money on a day-to-day basis. So,
gotcha.
Got to keep that in mind. We're going to go to our second break of the hour here. I wonder what he's got queued up.
I got to make a correction.
Yeah?
Well, Sean Elliott is alive and well. He's 58 years old, by the way.
Yeah.
The third pick in the 1989 NBA draft, selected by San Antonio, of course. His number 32 was retired by the team, but he only had a 14 points per game average. But he was instrumental. He was a very, very good NBA and college player.
And a great dude.
Right.
Yeah. Good man. Good human.
6 foot eight.
Yeah.
Didn't look that tall on the court.
I was at U of A watching him and Steve Kerr. That was when I was there, when they first became great, was when I actually was in school there, when they still sold great seats to students.
Oh, yeah.
Instead of alumni.
Everywhere they did, yeah. I was at UNLV when the Thomas Mack first opened. They lost their first game in that building. Did you know that?
No.
To Patrick Ewing.
Oh,
and
Hoyas.
The Georgetown Hoyas. But won a few more after that. So
right on.
All right, one of my favorite songs by Elton John, Where To Now, St. Peter, off of Tumbleweed Junction. This is phenomenal. All right, we're going to take a short break. Back with more in a moment. Sound Advice with Brian Springberg will continue. Give us a call, 928-854-5687. Show me which road. Views expressed on Speak Out are not necessarily the opinion of KNTR Talk 106.3, 5, and 7 FM, and should not be construed directly or indirectly as an offer to buy or sell any securities that would be mentioned that you're in. Investing is subject to risk involving loss of principal invested. Past performance is not a guarantee of future results. No strategy can assure a profit or protect against loss. Please note that individual situations may vary, therefore the information should be relied upon when coordinated with individual professional advice. Securities and investment advisory services offered through Osaic Wealth, member FINRA, SIPC. Osaic Wealth is separately owned, and other entities or marketing names, products, or services referenced sincere are independent of Osaic Wealth. I'm really surprised, Brian. Maybe you know it here.
Yeah.
Pretty catchy, though, right?
Yeah.
Same album, Tumbleweed Junction. That one lives on in time, man. It's like this album is like scotch. I haven't even acquired a taste for that. My mother always said you acquire a taste for it. Right?
Album's peaty?
It's not something you like.
Smoky peaty?
It's not something you like right away. Well.
I understood.
All right. Yeah, this is a classic Elton John album. Tumbleweed Junction, as we celebrate Crocodile Rock being the first number one Elton John hit on this date in music history. All right, Speak Out, brought to you in part by Springberg Wealth Management. Love those guys.
Thanks.
You guys are doing, you're having a good year, or you had a good year, right?
What do you mean?
The market.
Well, the market had a great year.
Yeah that's what I mean.
Yeah, it's been 3 years. 3 years of a great market.
And so. You guys found a new building?
Found a new building. Stumbled into it.
All right. Also by the chair, Laughlin Ranch, Mojave College, samsguns.com, solar powered by Esme Electric, Dorita's Place, and by Legacy Rehab and Care in Bullhead City. Don't forget to buy local, or it's buy local. So there's a fair in Lake Havasu this weekend. Did you know that?
Renaissance Fair?
It's just called the Lake Havasu City Fair.
Cool.
I think it's over at the Commons.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
That would be...
What is the name of that officially?
Springberg McGandrew Park?
Well, that was what it was before.
No, that's what it will always be,
oh,
Paul.
Okay. My bad.
Okay. Thank you for your apology.
So, like Gary Myers now with the second bridge. We don't call it the second bridge. It's the Freedom Bridge. Well, when it's named that. No, it's the... Something
Main Street Commons.
Main Street Commons. Thank
you. Yeah. What a. I don't know how many people are familiar with that, but it's, you know, what a huge success, because a lot of people from small towns aren't necessarily familiar with that approach to economic development and businesses, et cetera. So when the Partnership for Economic Development and the city, et cetera, put that together, you know, it's like this unusual looking building, super modern and nondescript and whatever. It's like what I've been told, super profitable, and have a waiting list of 15 businesses that want to get into it.
Nice.
And so, you know, it's for the small businesses who don't want to operate out of their house, but don't necessarily have the funds yet to be able to afford to rent a bigger space or a more expensive space somewhere else around town, or certainly buy anything. So it's kind of like a starter space, if you will, that allows us to help our own small businesses incubate and grow to where, you know, we can set them free and be on their own. And so I'm super excited that it seemingly has worked out pretty favorably for our small businesses here in Havasu. One of the other reasons that the market, though, is under pressure is that report just came out. Job openings dropped in December, hugely missing economists' expectations and tumbling to the lowest level since 2020. 2020, you might remember, pandemic was...
Yeah.
You know, Malo,
I moved,
as our friends from the South say, bad, bad times.
I moved during the pandemic at that time.
Oh, my God.
And in fact, March 1st, 2020 was my first day back full time here.
Interesting. And so what I keep saying is the labor market's going to just drive so much, man. If jobs reports come out and continue to struggle, at some point, that's going to cause some of the inflationary factors to come down, meaning that there will be objective, rational reasoning to lower interest rates, and they will. And so that's, to me, the linchpin right now, to be honest with you, is to see, because we've been in kind of this status quo of we're not really hiring many people, but we're not also really laying off tons of people. We're in treading water, more or less. But this last report did send a little bit of a shiver through the labor markets as an indication that maybe things could devolve a little bit and not be so good. What that would actually do to the stock market, you and I both know. Hard to know. Why? Well, because on one hand, it's bad news for the economy, right? On the other hand, it green lights a interest rate cut or two, and quicker and more, et cetera. So there is some counterbalance to that. And so as long as it doesn't get too bad, I think that everything would probably be okay in regard specifically to just that variable. So I was talking about a couple of reviews I had this morning. One of them, we talked about required minimum distribution strategies. So if you are starting to get a little bit older, late 60s, early 70s, or you're wondering how it works when you get there in terms of distributions to live off of your retirement plan, I had two very different conversations this morning. First client was a client here for a while, moved away to South Carolina. you know, still a client. And so their scenario is they don't need their required minimum distribution. And in his IRAs between them, I think he's 75, and there's enough money in there where his required minimum distribution between the two accounts was about 20 grand. He's got to take, by law, pay taxes on $20,000 because he's over 73. You have to do it. It's a calculation. It's a formula. And it changes a little bit every year. But
is it a normal tax rate?
It's at his, whatever his
family's
tax rate is. Yep. Ordinary income is the answer.
Oh, interesting.
And so his response was, Brian, I don't need the money. And so what we decided to do is we're going to wait towards the end of the year to let some of the money hopefully make more money. And then we're going to distribute the money, but what we're going to do is journal it over to a separate account that's not a retirement account. It will cause a tax ramification to him. We'll withhold taxes for him, so he, you know, prepays him. But it'll just immediately be reinvested for him. And he can pull that money out anytime he wants. Won't have to pay taxes again in the same way as he did the first time, only on gains. He'll have already paid taxes on it. But that way he keeps his assets invested and doesn't just stick it more in a savings account not doing so well. And so didn't need the money, took it out, going to just reinvest it. And if he needs it, it's always a, you know, phone call the way to my office. The second case is somebody who just retired last year. And most of his money is actually, he wanted a variable annuity for part of his assets because it had guarantees for growth when used for purposes of guaranteed income. And now that he's going to start income next month, it has guaranteed income for the rest of his life while still maintaining access to the entire balance of the portfolio. So he doesn't give up the, you know, the portfolio balance. He's just, as long as he takes a specific amount each year, it's guaranteed for the rest of his life, no matter what happens to the underlying balances. And so that dollar amount that he's going to be taking out, I think it was like $5,000 a month.
$60,000 a year?
$60,000 a year is guaranteed for the rest of his life, no matter what happens to his balance. If the balance goes up in a given policy year, then actually his new guarantee for life also goes up. If his balance goes down, it never decreases his income for life. So a totally different product, a totally different need. He wants and needs the money to live off of and enjoy and spend. He can always stop the cash flow whenever he wants. But when I talk about customization of a portfolio and a financial plan, there's an example of two clients that have no overlap in the same kind of investment product, that have totally different needs for drawing the money from those investments, and have different risk tolerances, of course, which is why they're in different approaches. And that tailored approach is designed exactly to make sure that I'm accommodating both what their financial needs make sense to be, as well as what their risk tolerances that let them sleep at night, and tax factors and liquidity factors, and all of that going into the mix. And it's just, that's the part of the job that gets a little interesting, to make sure that I'm accommodating it. And by the way, that's with the same exact background I explained at the opening of the show, all these competing economic and market variables forcing me to make sure that I've got somebody in the right place.
Perfect.
All right.
So the Lake Havasu City Fair is at Windsor, by the way.
Oh, okay.
So sorry
that
about that.
That sounds like
folks.
A little bit bigger space.
That makes more sense to me. I know. I'm volunteering.
Hey, Lake Havasu City Fair, it's one Ferris wheel.
I'm volunteering for Silent Witness at that event. So we're going to have a table there, or a booth. So there you go.
To be one? You just gave it away.
To what?
You volunteered to be a silent witness?
No,
everybody knows.
I'm on the board to raise money to pay the rewards. The rewards don't come out of city funds. They come out of donations.
I'm with you now.
All right, perfect. Brian, what's the number people can reach you at?
928-855-9421, or shoot me an email, bspringberg@osaicwealth.com.
Do you remember when Elton did Pinball Wizard?
Yeah, of course.
Wild. Those big boots in the movie.
Crazy
Tommy.
Boots.
Yeah. All right. Thanks for being here. We'll see you next week.
Thank you so much.
Oh, no.
No, Ron, I'm off next week.
That's right. Ron Gould will be here next week.
You kicked me to the curb next week.
Ah, whatever.
Not cool. All right. Thanks, Paul.
Not cool. All right. We'll be back with more in a moment. I'll have a final shot when we come back on Speak Out. Welcome back. It's Final Shot. Well, I'll let you know who's on next week. On Monday, Warmsey is going to be calling in by phone, of course. And Go Lake Havasu will be on the show as well. We'll have Lake Havasu City Manager Jessica Knudsen on Tuesday. Steve Ticknor. We're going to talk about, let's see, I've got him right here. Anyway, Steve Ticknor and Chip Chalosky are going to be on Wednesday. And then we've got Ron Gould on Thursday. All right, Karate Man's up next. Marissa, you need to come back. They're wearing me out here. All right, we'll see you on Speak Out.
This is KNTR Talk, KGJJ HD2 Laughlin. Heard on 106.7 FM, 106.5, and 106.3. The voice of the free.